Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our precious Blood Sunday this year coincides with Divine Providence Sunday. And in its collect, the Church prays to God, our Father, whose providence fails not, to remove anything that might harm us, and to grant us all good things for our welfare. Today I want to tell you about some wonderful examples of just those good things that remove harmful things from us. But first of all, consider with me what could be more for our welfare than the wealth of saints, which is our heritage as Catholics. All different kinds of saints, I mean, of all different ages, types, and conditions, who serve today as our teachers and our intercessors, our models, and, when we need it, our miracle workers as well. This is a proof of the divine providence and a proof, too, of the truth of the Catholic Church, especially those saints connected with perpetual miracles that can be seen and verified by anyone at all. One of the benefits of going to Europe in particular is the ability to be able to visit the shrines of the saints. And I told Father McGuire, who kindly accompanied me, that a good goal in a Catholic country when traveling is to try to see one saint a day. And we pretty much reached our goal, visiting Lisieux and the Little Flower, St. Benedict, St. Bernadette, St. Margaret Mary à la Coque, the Curé of ours, the Blessed Claude de la Colombière, and St. Martin of Tours. There's not much left of St. Martin, unfortunately, because the Protestants at the Protestant Revolt burned most of his relics, but there's just a few precious ones that are left. But the relics of the saints you usually see gathered together and reposing beneath a wax effigy of the saint over their altar. But Saint Bernadette is an exception. She is actually incorrupt. And the only thing is that her skin had darkened slightly due to exposure to the air, so there's a very thin layer of wax over it. Otherwise, you see her exactly as she looked on her bed of death in the 19th century. We had the privilege to see St. Bernadette this time. I've been there several times now, without any crowds of pilgrims whatsoever. It was all quiet. There was just one sort of sad-looking Novus Ordo nun wearing no habit, trying to keep an eye on things, but to her credit, she was at least praying the rosary. And that reminded me that they say that after the council, some of those nuns tried to change the habit of St. Bernadette to update her, and that they couldn't. Her body would not move. And there she is, as beautiful as ever. Of course, we know, as the saying goes, the habit does not make the monk or the nun. It's more than just exterior garments that are required. We think of the Little Flower and her Carmelite habit. And remember, Friday is the feast day of all of us who belong to Our Lady by the Carmelite habit, the little brown scapular that we wear devoutly. It's a good time to come to Mass Friday, too. We think of St. Thérèse of Lisieux as of such a beautiful saint in her brown Carmelite habit. But actually, you know, it was a great instrument of penance. It was a very heavy, thick woolen garment, difficult for a teenage girl to put on and to maneuver her way around in. And in addition, hers was very poorly cut and sewn. And she looked a little silly in it when she started. And the other sisters made sarcastic comments to her about it. But she never minded things like that. She always answered with a very sincere smile. And God's love came from her heart and shone through her garments. Speaking of garments, the last gospel of today's Mass speaks about clothing and warns us, the classic warning with which we are so well familiar, of wolves in the clothing of sheep, those who cover themselves, not so as to reveal the soul's beauty and to protect it, but to disguise their own spiritual ugliness and to attack others out of envy. It is interesting to note that in the early centuries, the ascetics, the monks, and missionaries, missionary bishops, saints, would often wear sheepskin. They did that to symbolize the good shepherd, whose office they were following, and also as an act of penance, because the sheepskin itself, I gather, was rather scratchy and itchy to wear. It was a sacrifice. They went about, these early missionaries did, as we must do today, pouring the precious blood of the Lamb of God over countless souls, making them to be born again in the laver of water and of life. This all goes back, the symbolism, to the Old Testament. You remember the story in the book of Exodus, the Passover, how when it was time for God's people to leave slavery in Egypt, they were first commanded to sacrifice a lamb and then to smear the blood of the lamb over their doorposts, on the outside, in a word, where it could be seen by others, so that the avenging angel of God's wrath would pass over those homes where the blood of the lamb was to be seen. This, I think, is the scriptural origin for so many of our modern Catholic clothings, coverings, and protections. I mean, a scapular, a badge, or a medal, as well as a habit, which we might wear for protection of body and of soul. Remember what a sacramental is? It means a little sacrament instituted by the Church. It does not automatically give grace, but it disposes our soul so as to have the right spiritual attitude, as to draw down many blessings for the body too, as well as for the soul, from heaven. The source of this precious blood in which souls alone are saved, the source of that precious blood which redeemed us once and protects us still today and flows on the altar at every Mass, is the heart, the Sacred Heart of our Savior. During the month of the Sacred Heart, someone here in the parish donated to me a box of Sacred Heart badges, and I've placed them around the church, and there are some in the vestibule too, and they have been blessed. And if you don't have one, you're very welcome and urged to take one home with you today. And then just at the end of the month, at the contemplative convent I visit in France, the sisters follow the rule of La Salette. Why, the sisters gave me another kind of a Sacred Heart badge, which is known as the Safeguard of Nantes, the city it came from. We've often spoken over the years about our Lord's promise and his request. I will bless, he says, every place where an image of my heart is exposed and honored. And so many of you have enthroned the Sacred Heart in your home. But the other part of that request is that we should go so far as to carry even a little picture or a badge of his heart with us on our person, wherever we go, so as to receive that blessing constantly. And that's the reason why some of you, if you dig around in a purse or a wallet, will have one of these. Maybe you've been carrying them with you for many, many years. In the 1700s, the Sacred Heart appeared to two other sisters of that same order, the Visitation, in France, to bestow the Sacred Heart badge again as a particular protection. First of all, in 1720, it served as a protection against the plague, which was devastating the city of Marseille in the south of France. And then, later on, in the city of Nantes, our Lord appeared to another visitation sister, and he complained that the Sacred Heart, his heart today, was knocked down to the ground and kicked around and made fun of by people, but that if only they would wear that badge and pray, they would be protected. This was just a few years before it started, from the terrors of the French Revolution. And so it was. The plague stopped. Those who were sick got better. Those who wore the Sacred Heart badge were protected from the intellectual dangers and errors, as well as the physical problems posed by this godless dissolution of all order in society. When you get a Sacred Heart badge, and do take one if you don't have one, you'll see there's a little inscription here which has always mystified me. I remember as a boy reading it and thinking to myself, I wonder what that means. It says, "Cease, the heart of Jesus is with me." And I did some research on it this week, and I wasn't able to find out anything about it, but it came to me yesterday as I was preparing the sermon. Cease, the heart of Jesus is with me. What's going to cease? Well, first of all, it was a plague, wasn't it? The spread of germs, disease. And then next, it was the plague of the revolution. And then after that, for you, it's whatever's really bothering you. What's troubling you in your heart, some kind of physical pain, or whether it be some confusion of the head, or some terrible hurt of the heart. Whatever's distracting you and pulling you down, cease. The heart of Jesus is with me. This is a wonderful prayer, a command, a kind of an exorcism almost, to recite. And so it is if we will be faithful. If we just do a little bit, that's all our Lord asks. And what a powerful reminder this is to God to take care of us, his children. But this badge serves not only as a spiritual protection, it goes further than that. It serves too as an armor for those of you who will take your confirmation seriously. And so it has in the past. There were many men who fought the French Revolution wearing the Sacred Heart badge, and they were defended and protected. The Cristeros, you've heard about them in Mexico in the early 20th century, fought to defend their church and their faith against the communist or Masonic revolution there. They wore the Sacred Heart badge. And in Cuba, when Castro came into power, all of the Catholics who opposed him were united in wearing the Sacred Heart badge. A lady once came up to the great anti-revolutionary Pope, Pius IX, and gave him one of these badges, and he looked at it, and he smiled, and he said, "This is an inspiration from heaven." And then he took it in his hands, and he blessed it, and he said, "I'm blessing it in such a way so that it will always be blessed, and it doesn't even need to be blessed by a priest, like the brown scapular. It may be blessed, but it's not necessary for its benefits. And that way, the graces always go with the bearer, the inspiration of heaven." And then furthermore, he granted an indulgence of 100 days every day of the year. If you say the Our Father, Hail Mary, and the Glory Be, just once, in honor of the Sacred Heart. The Sacred Heart badge, I hope that you'll take one, and I hope that you will wear it. And I hope that when you're really troubled by something and you don't know what else to do, maybe you'll even press it to where it hurts and say, "Cease, the heart of Jesus is with me." The Sacred Heart badge is yet another example of God's fatherly providence over us, removing whatever might harm us and granting us all that is for our welfare. Cease. The heart of Jesus is with me. We are under the protection of his precious blood. Never forget that. His sheep have no need to fear even a wolf in sheep's clothing, because we, the sheep, wear the clothing of the Lamb of God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.